Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of your word. And the truth we're looking at tonight is something we all need to be reminded of. That we do have a tremendous need to trust in you. And I pray tonight as we just go back over some things that we're already knowledgeable of, that you will help us to apply better the truth of your word. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for any of us who watch the news, it's not all that encouraging. On the day that I was born, and you know that was a long time ago, the banks of the United States of America closed. We were in a depression. And this past couple of weeks, we've seen banks that have failed and have to recover. And this past week, why they showed us kind of a code on the news as to what people can use to determine how close a bank is to failing. And there are thousands of them throughout our country. That's so encouraging. Not. We also recognize as we pull into our gas stations to put fuel in our cars, why it costs a lot to do that. And a lot of changes are taking place in our country as a result of the costs of not only fuel, but groceries and lots of other things. That's not a very encouraging thing for us. We also recognize that the costs of medicine, medical bills, doctors, and all of these things are really stretching not only us personally, but our country as a result of the costs of getting health care. So as we live our lives in this day, and as you listen to the news, things are not very encouraging. So are you encouraged? So how do you feel about how life is going? As you know, we have shared with us, shared with you the last time I was here to speak. Well, I shared with you that Marion and I are planning to sell our home and property and move away from the area. We haven't taken too much activity here yet. We have not talked to a realtor to help us on this. We're just going to trust God. But as you look at the housing market today, why, selling of a property and place is not something that's going very rapidly. And so, as Marion and I were talking this week, why, we may be here quite a long time. You'll keep putting up with us. Well, at any rate, this evening, I'd just like to have us listen to the words of our Lord Jesus as he talks to his disciples and he tells them about how they are to respond in life to a life that they were living back in the first century when there were also many difficulties and many problems. Now, in this particular message out of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, which is called the Sermon on the Mount, this is early in the life and ministry of Jesus as he is training his disciples and others who will listen to him. As he tries to get across to them his truth, his ways that are different from man's ways. And we need to keep those kind of thoughts in mind that God's ways are different. So when we look at the world and many people are worried about and fearful for what's going on here, how are we going to make it? When I think of the amount of people who have made strong investment in so-called good investment programs, and some of those investment programs have lost money for them, and they have, many of them had to either go back to work or severely cut back on the things that they had planned to do in their later life and in their retirement time. Just because The money has failed. And so now people are wondering what to do, and there's a great deal of fear. And as Christians, we don't call it worry. We just call it concern or apprehension or some of these other terms, because we know that the Word of God says, don't worry. So we've got to find another way to express the idea that we are really upset about what's going on in life with the things that we are trying to do and want to do for our future. So in these early years of the training of the disciples, why, Jesus wants his disciples, and he wants us too, because it's here in the Word of God, to have some understanding that we must depend upon God. We can't depend upon this world. And for those of us who have lived a long time, why, we know that we have had plans for our future, plans for things that we might want to do in later life, and some of those plans can no longer be done. But who's in charge? And I hope you understand who is in charge. A passage of scripture that I have quoted to myself and to many others throughout my life is that passage from Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with a little of your heart. No, you know that's not what it says. With all of your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So Jesus wants us to have some understanding of what it takes to trust in him. So I'd like to talk about these things tonight a little and see what the Lord Jesus said, beginning in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, most of you have heard that. You've read that. You know that passage. Some of you could probably quote by memory because you do know it. And yet, Jesus is trying to get across to his disciples and to these others that might be there on that mount where Jesus is talking, that they need to trust in him. Now, throughout the lifetime of these disciples being with Jesus, they had a problem with fulfilling what Jesus was telling them to do. Don't worry. And so the disciples are in a boat and they're going across the Lake of Galilee and a storm comes up. And Jesus has fallen asleep in the boat. And so what do? They become fearful. I'm sure that they bailed out as much water as they possibly could out of the boat. But their mind got to thinking about drowning. Now, Jesus said to these disciples when they got into the boat, his words were, "Let us go to the other side." You know what they were thinking? Let us go out into the lake and drown. I mean, they weren't to the other side yet. And so when they awakened Jesus and he stilled that storm and the waves went calm, his words to them were, "Why did you doubt? O ye of little faith." My word was, let's go to the other side, not go out into the lake and drown. So because of their fear, he says, "You're people of little faith." When Jesus has a multitude of people surrounding him and it comes a meal time and he says to the people, to the disciples, "Feed them." They say, "Who, us? We don't have anything. There's no place to buy." And again, he has to remind them that he is God. How come they doubted? And a little boy's lunch is able to be turned into enough food to provide for that whole multitude. You see, these disciples throughout their life, even when Jesus is with them, continued to have a problem with faith. And in this passage that we read right here, why we see that Jesus was saying that they were people who needed to have faith and have a strong faith. Will not the Father close us and care for us, O ye of little faith? Faith is an important thing for us. Not faith in ourselves and our own ability. Not faith in the amount of substance that we have. Not faith in what we can do with our lives. But faith in Him. Rather than just trusting in ourselves. And so as we've grown up in this culture, a culture that teaches us to trust in ourselves, to take care of ourselves, to do what we can for ourselves, a culture where we have grown up that causes us to focus our lives on what we want for our future and our time, we find ourselves in a time like this wondering, how are we going to make it? How are we going to buy fuel for our cars? How are we going to be able to travel to see our children, our relatives? How are we going to be able to go back to Guam and continue ministry? How are we going to be able to do these things? And Jesus needs to remind us, who's in charge here? Are we going to be people who trust in Him? Or are we just going to be a people who continue to trust in ourselves? And so throughout this passage, why Jesus is going to use a number of illustrations, and I'm not going to go in depth through all of this. This is a passage that we're all pretty familiar with, but he uses the idea of treasures, uses the idea of eyesight. He uses masters. Who's going to master our life? Who are we going to let master? He uses the ideas of birds and flowers. I mean, all of these kind of things he's wanting his disciples to understand how that God is in charge and how God is able to care for us. Jesus in the early part in verses 19 and 21 to 21 is kind of acting as an investment counselor to these disciples. And he's going to talk about laying up treasures. Now, laying up treasures has to do with storing up. And by the way, this is not wrong for people to store up. It just depends on, in our storing up, what are we doing it for? Just for us? For our benefit? For our pleasure? Or are we going to store up some things for the glory of God? And if we have got a story, storehouse, or if we have got things that we can use, how is it that we are going to use them? Just for us? You know, I've been working through my garage. I have a storehouse. As some people say, Pastor, I'd rather come to your house and go to Home Depot. We've often said the first place you go when we needed anything around church is we went to my garage. If we couldn't find it there, well, then we went to Len Bentley's garage. And in the years that Orville Eaton was here, why, the second place we went was to Orville Eaton's garage. Because we had a storehouse of stuff. I mean, it's hard for me to even talk about the amount of stuff that's going in the trailer that's going to the dump. Storehouse. That if you want it, friend, come on over. This afternoon, a young man came over, and I had invited him because I knew of his life and lifestyle, and I said, there it is. Pick up anything you want. Store. What was it for? For us and our selfishness, or to be used for the glory of God? So Jesus here is talking to these adult men, as well as whoever else might be there, but basically to his disciples. And he is speaking to these ones about preparing their hearts for growing in their trust in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was challenging them in regards to thinking about the future. Now, we all do that. Maybe I'm thinking more about the future in glory than some of the rest of you. But the longer I live, why, the more I recognize I'm just a stranger here within this foreign land. I've got a home far away, a home with Jesus. And yet young people need to be looking at that truth. Because even though we don't know a lot about what heaven is like, and all the things that are there, I go with the words of Paul. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is, what's the words? Far better. Far better. Not just better. I mean, going to Disneyland is better than living in some places. But this is so far better. Disneyland won't even hold a candle to that. So he's challenging them to think about their future and storing up for this future. And in this future, we need to recognize some wonderful truth. What a contrast, what a difference there is between storing up here where there's loss. Thieves break through and steal, stuff rusts, stuff rots, stuff corrupts. But in glory, it doesn't. And we need to be laying up treasures in heaven. So maybe you wonder, how do you do that? Well, I'd like to go toward the end of the life of Jesus in Matthew chapter 25 and see what it takes to store up treasures in heaven. There is an alternative way in storing up, rather than just gathering our stuff in our garage and then tearing down the barn and building greater barns so that we can store more stuff. We need to be laying up treasures on earth. So I'm looking at the 25th chapter, and beginning in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory. Okay, so here he is on earth back in chapter 6. And he's telling them about the future when he comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. They laid up treasures in heaven by caring for one another, by helping one another. They didn't even recognize they were doing it for the glory of God. They just were willing to be selfless and give of their stuff to help someone else. And Jesus saw that. And he says, you did it unto one of the least of me, my brethren. And so you did it to me. It had to do with, where was their focus as they lived in this life? Was their focus just upon, what can I do for me? How can I accumulate more stuff for me, for my future, for my security, for my benefit? Now, when you go on in the passage, why, he goes on to say, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will answer and say to him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or in stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, he's talking about glory. He said in the beginning, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and in his glory, why, people are there before him. And he knows about them. And he knows why they're there. They've responded to the gospel, and the gospel has had its effect upon their lives. They weren't just laying up treasures for themselves here on earth, for their own security, for their own pleasure, for their own benefit. They were willing to use whatever they had for the glory of God. And as it says in verse 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So their heart was in a different place. Now, many of you have a wonderful heart that is in a different place as you think about others who are serving God and want to have a part in their life and ministry. And my friend, I just want to tell you, if you do not and have not taken on some responsibility to help financially, materially for other people, you are missing out on a tremendous blessing of God. Because as the Word of God says, be a giver. Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall God give to your bosom. Those are the ones that are laying up treasures in heaven, and not just treasures on earth. You say, how can I afford that? Let me tell you, friend, do you know at the time when the greatest, not the greatest amount in dollars, but the greatest percentage of giving took place in the United States of America? Percentage-wise, it was during the Depression, when people didn't have anything or had very little. I have traveled into foreign countries. I've traveled across our United States in doing ministry work. I have been in some really poverty situations where people didn't have anything. I remember one time being in Cuba where we were in a home. on an afternoon. He'd had a service in the morning in this little community out in the middle of a sugarcane patch. And a family took us in to feed us, and there were a number of us. Any of you who remember the little cartoon called the Toonerville Trolley, or had that little trolley that was a rickety little thing? We rode on a Toonerville trolley out to this little community out in a sugarcane patch, and the family took us in and fed us. Now, we didn't know about their culture. I'm really sorry we didn't know about their cultural ways. But at any rate, we were eating their meal, and we finished everything that was on our plate. And so what the lady of the home did, and this is very poor people, they came and brought more and put on our plate. Now, I was raised in the Depression. So what'd you do? You finished everything on your plate. So we did it again. We finished everything on our plate, and they brought us more. And we tried saying, no, we want no more. But because we couldn't speak the language well and didn't know the culture well, well, they kept feeding us more and more and more. We were taking the food that they had prepared for the next week. And we were eating it. And finally, one of our group said to our pastor, what do? We don't want any more. And he said, leave some on your plate. Well, if I would have known that, I would have done it the first time. Now, being college students, we had hollow legs and could fill them up, you know, and keep eating. But if we would have known that, we wouldn't have eaten so much. But those people, they were laying up treasures in heaven. In their thought, they were providing for some of God's children. I don't have time to tell this, but I'm going to just share you. The gospel went into that little sugarcane village by one of their people that went out of that community. And it was a long trip out. Went out into a little town called Santa Clara. And there somebody standing on a corner was giving out the gospel of John. And she took one. She took it back to her community. She couldn't read, but one of the children in the community was learning to read. And now she had a book with printing on it and written in Spanish. And she had this little boy come over and read this book to her. And she was so taken by the truth of the Gospel of John that she received Christ as her Savior. And she said, others need to know this. So she gathered the people of the community together. And they began with this little boy reading just the Word of God. And the community accepted Christ. And so when we were there that day in this little poverty community, here were all of these people. And I'm not talking about a lot. There were maybe about 40 people that were in that community. These people could sing and pray. Many of them still couldn't read. But they knew Christ, and they wanted to share. That's what the Word of God is sharing with us here. He's talking about, let's lay up for ourselves treasures where they won't rust. They won't be destroyed. And if your eye is on that is righteous and good, your whole body will be full of light. He talks about the can't serve two masters. And we find ourselves in our culture living for the bottom line. What are we going to get out of it? How many of you have had children who, when you ask them to do something in your home, they said, what will you pay me? Or if there's an opportunity for service around the church, what do I get paid for it? The bottom line, their focus is getting upon serving money rather than serving Jesus Christ. We're looking for opportunities for ourselves in our selfishness rather than opportunities for our serving God. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, in this passage, well, there's just a couple of things that I want to close with. As he comes into the end of verse 26, or in verse 6. He talks about the birds of the air. And then in the end of that verse, are you not of more value than they? Are you? Now, we live in this culture where, because of environmentalists, we as human beings are not of more value than birds and trees and all these other things. But that is contrary to what the Word of God says. We are the valuable ones to Him. We are the ones that He wants to take care of. But our care from Him comes through trust. Trust in Him. Trusting Him to the place where we are willing to give away the stuff that He has allowed us to have, that we might see His power work in a continual providing, because that is what He wants. He wants to give us. He's a giving God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And if He's willing to give His Son, He's willing to give a whole lot more to those who will trust in Him. We are of more value than they. So, as we come to the conclusion, verse 28, so why do you worry? And later in verse 31, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, drink, so forth? We are of much more value. In verse 20, 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. None of us know what tomorrow is going to bring. But don't worry about tomorrow. We really do know who's in charge of it, don't we? Don't you? What can you do about the banks closing? What if your money is no longer safe in some investment program? Who's in charge? Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Psalm 37, a passage that we read a part of this morning in our morning service, where the psalmist says, I have been young and am now old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Righteous, who are laying up treasures in heaven. Psalm 37 again in verse 28. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake His saints. In the Old Testament, you see much truth about trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. Jesus had a rich young ruler come to Him one time. And he recognized that there was something lacking in his life. He wanted to know what he needed to do to have eternal life. And so Jesus told him some things about the keeping of the law. And he said, I've done that. I've been doing that since I was young. And then Jesus said, go sell all that you have. See, his question was, what more do I lack? I don't feel like everything is okay with me as far as eternal life is concerned. And Jesus said, go sell all you have and give it away. Give it to the poor. And then come and follow me. Now, probably you know the rest of the story about that. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Who was his master? Was it God or mammon? God or money? It was money. He had great possessions. He was not willing to trust God with his life and with his future. In the Word of God, we have this book called the Book of Hebrews. And in the 11th chapter, why, it's a faith chapter. And it's giving us illustrations out of the lives of many Bible characters who trusted God in some really difficult circumstances. So we have the illustrations, and so then when we, if there was no chapter division there going from 11 to 12, Why, then he talks about this great cloud of witnesses. Witnesses of people who have lived by faith and not by sight. And so then, as he goes on into chapter 12, he says, therefore, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking to him. And friend, as we live in this day, we need this reminder, I believe. I need it. We all need it. To be always looking to Jesus, the one who's going to finish the work. And he's going to keep us and provide for us and care for us because we're of much more value than the birds. He loves us. And he's going to care for us. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be rich in this world's goods. But friend, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are rich. Maybe someday you'll have money. But we are rich in our faith and our trust in him. And I trust that as we live in this day when things are difficult for us, it is hard to make what money we have go around. And as, you know, as I've got to the place where, you know, you're going to live on Social Security, thank God for the Social Security, but if it wasn't there and if it failed, can I still make it? Absolutely. Because I got a God who doesn't let the righteous ones go begging for bread. Just come to Gold Country Baptist Church Wednesday or Sunday. Get all the bread you can eat. But realize, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's his word that encourages us. I hope you'll go away trusting in him with all of your heart. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful promises so that we do not need to worry, and certainly we shouldn't, because we have you to be our God, our Lord, our Master, our Provider, the one who cares for us to the day that you take us to be with yourself, and then throughout all eternity. Thank you for this time we've shared together tonight, today. It's been a blessed time for the family of believers to be encouraged in your truth. Direct us in our activities this week and help us to have our minds renewed as we think upon you and on the truth of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good night. God bless you. Have a wonderful